Very much at home here. And again, I thank you for the invitation. Now, I just about didn't make it. I just about canceled. See, I was invited to the wedding by Meghan and Prince Harold, but I couldn't get back in time, so I had to decline. So I'm here anyway. You don't believe me? No. But one thing wonderful happened at the wedding. You know, I got so excited. Now, I didn't get up at 1:30 in the morning to watch it. But my wife was watching it later on in the day. And the thing that interests me in the whole wedding was the message. What kind of message? 13, 14-minute message. And you know what the preacher said? He was so good. And he gave a tremendous message. And this is what got me excited. It says here, you can follow along. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sinner's soul. One of the stanzas actually explained why they said, if you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul, you just tell the love of Jesus how he died to save us all. Oh, that balm of Gilead, this way of love is the way of life. That got it. He died to save us all. He didn't die for anything he could get out of it. Jesus did not get an honorary doctorate for his dying. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the good of others, for the well-being of the world, for us. That's what love is. It was a fantastic message. See, Jesus loved you and me. And, you know, this message I have this morning is very dark. I really don't like chapter 16 of Revelation. I know I'm not supposed to say that as a preacher, but it's so negative, but it's so positive in so many ways. And just like at the wedding, when you think of this lovely wedding and this lovely young couple, and we think of this message that there were 600 people invited. I couldn't make it, as I said, so there was really only 599. But anyway, there was thousands of people all over the world that heard that message that Jesus loves us and he died for us and he died for you. And if you realize that, if you come to that realization today that Jesus died for you, wow, you know what's going to happen? You don't have to go through the judgment that we're going to talk about. You're not going to talk about. We're going to talk about. You know, but one other thing I'd like just say before I get into the message is what Timothy says. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So let's pray for this young couple. Let's pray. You know, I don't know if you've read the testimony of Queen Elizabeth, but I was quite excited when I read that too. And you know, this message went over the whole world that Jesus died because of his love for you and I. So let's pray for the bomberos, the firemen here in Burnaby. Let's pray for the mayor of Burnaby. Let's pray for the fire chief, the police chief. Let's pray for those in authority so that we might live a peaceful life. Did any of you look at the wedding? Yeah, there's a couple of you. Yeah, fantastic. It was quite exciting, quite exciting. Yes. Oh, yes, we're here to preach. We're here to talk about Revelation. And as it says in the bulletin, I'm to be speaking on chapter 15 and chapter 16. Chapter 15 is very interesting, and I'm going to share with you it right now. If you'd like to open up the Bibles, please open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 15. I'm not going to have all the verses on the screen because it's much better if we could just follow along verse by verse, and we're going to see what God has in store for us, because these are exciting, and I hope you're enjoying Revelations. I've been following along in Revelations, not listening to all of your messages, but following along so I would get into the theme of it. Revelations chapter 15, the opening line, it says here, "Then I saw another sign in heaven," and this marks the beginning of a new vision. We're going to look at it. We've already seen two visions. This is the third vision, and it's a prelude to the bowl judgment. prelude to the bowl judgment. Now, you've already talked about, you've already listened to messages on the seven seals. You've already listened to messages on the seven trumpets. But today we're going to be talking about the seven bowls, B-O-W-L-S, bowls. And we'll explain that word as we go along. So this is an exciting time in the scriptures. And can you imagine the apostle John sitting on the rock at Patmos and, wow, he sees all of these visions. I would be scared. I would wonder, well, what in the world is going on? But thank God, by the working of the Holy Spirit, we have these written for us in the scriptures. And if it's in the scriptures, it's true. You can put your faith and trust in the scriptures. There's not much we can put our faith and trust in today. Everything changes. But Jésus ne change pas, ne change pas, ne jamais. Jesus never changes, never changes. He's the same yesterday and today. And when he gave this to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, it's for us today to read and to evaluate our position, to evaluate where we are in our journey, in our spiritual journey. Where are we? You know, Jesus Christ, our Savior, these catastrophe judgment, we look at him, we say, wow, this is unreal. But I can tell you right now, those who accept Jesus will not go through these judgments. We who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died for us on the cross of Calvary, because of his love for us, and because we put our faith and trust in him and him alone, we are not going to go through this. And that's very important in the outset of these meetings. Now, there's lots of charts. Is that in focus? Yep. There's lots of charts. There's not a focus. I don't think it is. Just focus this a little bit better. Oh, no. Look at that. Now, there's only three charts that I really like, and you can actually pick one up on the back. There's three of them. There's this one here, and I printed a few copies of it in the back. It's one of the best I've ever seen on the subject. And if you want it digitally, I had it scanned professionally by Staples. And if you leave me your email, I will not send you a whole bunch of garbage on the email or spam, but I will send you this one. And we have two others, but I haven't got this one. Yes, I have this on digital, and there's this one. So these are the three that I'm going to be referring to today. And if you'd like a copy, they're in the back. If you have email, give me your email. I will send them to you. And you can print them out yourself on your own printers. This is an exciting book. You're just about finished. 16 chapters you've studied. We're studying. So this is going to be something very exciting for all of us, that's for sure. Where are we in our study? Well, we're in chapter 15 in Bible prophecy. We are going to see three signs, seven plagues, and the heaven open. And again, this is a preview. And you know, this judgment is different than most judgments. This judgment is going to be coming very, very sudden. And it's going to be very swift. And it's going to be very severe. And it's going to be very destructive. And it's going to be very fierce. This judgment is the judgment of all judgments. Boom, 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 boom. Seven judgments like that. And it says in the Bible, and we're going to be reading it, it was poured out. It wasn't just sprinkled. It was poured out. And we're going to see that. We're going to try to see it visually. I don't know if you've seen some of these pictures, but I've got them on online. So first of all, we see here, verse 15, follow along. Then I saw another sign in heaven, another sign. What is referred to? What were the other two signs? Well, one of the other signs was this one. And it says here that when John claimed that I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, he recalls for us the great and wonderful sign in heaven in chapter 12, verse 1. A woman clothed with the sun. So that's the first sign. You've already studied that. Oh, so exciting. And the second sign that we are going to not look at today, because you've already touched this, is the in heaven in chapter 12, verse 13, an enormous red dragon. Now, I don't understand all these dragons and monsters, but I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I preach it. I live it. I share it. I write about it. I read about it because it's in the Bible. And these things are real. It's not a fairy tale. But in a sense, we're going to live happy ever after if you accept Jesus. That's the exciting thing about Revelation. Then we're going to have this one here is where we're at. Just to show you where we're at, we're right here, the tribulation period, 7 years. We're right here. This is where we're at. This is the church age and so on, and you're going to be studying all this. But this is where we're at right now in the time span of history. So you can follow along. Then verse 1, as we said again, and I saw in heaven another great marvelous sign, seven angels with seven last plagues. Last because with them, God's wrath is complete. This is the end of the end. This is something that's happening. And we know it's going to happen because the Bible talks to us. So here we find seven angels. And again, I don't think they had digital cameras in that time. But you can maybe imagine seven angels with seven bowls. Again, I'm a visual person. I'm a photographer by trade, and I love visual things, and I hope this will help you. I don't know. Have they seen these pictures, Andrew? Have they seen these pictures like this? No. So this is good. This is something maybe new. So these are the seven angels with the seven bowls. And as we read on, we're going to find it in chapter 15, verse 2, we find, and I saw as it were a glassy sea mingled with fire, and those who came out victorious from the beast and from his image and from the number of his name standing on the glassy sea having harps of gold. So here's what we see. We see those angels coming down. Seven angels, seven bowls, and then we see these angels with harps around the water. This is an unyielding principle of God's character. With vengeance, God always couples with victory. This is a victory chapter that we're going to be looking at. Victory in the sense that God is a God of judgment, but God is a God of grace. And here we have, in this beautiful scene right now, we have all of these angels with harps. And they're before the mirror of the water. And you can just imagine. And what they have is we see here in verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who have been victorious over the beast and his image, and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps. And they sang. They were having a praise meeting. They sang the song of Moses. And the song of Moses is exactly what it says here. You can follow along in the Bible. We're going to hear it in a minute. And they sang the song of Moses, the servants of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works. Great and marvelous are your works. Who should not fear you, O God, and glory your name? And if you only are holy, for you only are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Now, we're going to listen to it. Hope it works. We'll just sit back, relax, follow along in your Bible because it's just about perfectly scripture.
Thank you. These are angels. All of them singing, all of them with their harps. We don't know how many, but
verse 3, going on in verse 3, great. Great and marvelous. Wonderful, marvelous are your works. Can you imagine being there? Wouldn't it be great to be there? So then we go on to verse 5, and it says, after this I looked, and in the heaven the temple is the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was open. John listens to this vast choir, and they're giving a tribute to God Almighty, how wonderful he is, how marvelous he is. And it's a victorious song. Amidst all of this darkness, there's victory. It's like our life today, dear friends. So many people need drugs. So many people need the ups and downs and all the different pills you can buy. But you can have life abundant if you accept the Lamb. John the Baptist, when he was there, he said, "Look, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he's the one that was sacrificed for your sins and my sins on the cross of Calvary." And this is positive. This is not something negative. And as we go on, we find the seven last plagues of Revelation. Seven last plagues. And we find here in verse 7, "And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of wrath of God, and who liveth forever and ever." And here we can see just a type of a picture. And here we see seven angels receiving each one a bowl. And in that bowl is judgment. There's going to be seven judgments on the world. And the word bowl means a shallow saucer-like dish used for boiling liquid as well as drinking and pouring water from. So it's a bowl. And that's what the illustration here is the bowl. And as we read on about the temple, "And the temple was filled with smoke for the glory of God and for his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." Chapter 15, verse 8. Follow along. It's so interesting as you read it over and over and over. God will speak to you through the working of the Holy Spirit if you look at it. "And the temple was filled with smoke." And I mean, this takes us back to the Old Testament. "For the glory of God and for his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were filled." Chapter 15 is exactly that. But I love this verse. This verse I use quite often. It's so wonderful. Listen to what it said. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." See, we don't have to worry about this judgment. But I hope you have the passion to tell your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your work companions. Tell them that this judgment is coming and that they must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Salvador, Savior. That's what we have to do. There was joy in heaven, but also there's judgment. And God promised to protect us, to help us, to guide us. And all those people that were martyred during the tribulation, all those people who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation, the Christians were already taken up. But because of, you probably have already read, there's many conversions during this tribulation time. But all those people are martyred. They give up their lives for Jesus. And this is a judgment against those who did that. But we're not going to be there. Well, let's go to chapter 16 and see what God has in store for us. Yes, This is just a reflection. But this is true. Don't be discouraged. Don't be upset over this. Trust and obey. There's no other way. So here we have John, chapter 16. He was there to chapter 14. And there he is, and he's writing down, inspired by the Holy Spirit, which is so important to realize. And when we examine these, if you're making notes, first we find that the seven bowls wrath, we notice that the four of them, the first four bowls we're going to talk about, relate to natural world, the earth, the sea, the rivers, and the sun. This is the way I can remember it anyway. So the first four is that. Then we find out that the next two bowls affect the political world, the beast, the throne, the armies of the world. And you can see the verses there, and we're going to look at these. And then, of course, the last, and the last one is even more, I don't want to say scary, but it's the last judgment. So here we have the first one, the four of them. Then we have the final seventh bowl. Judgment sums up everything up, brings all justice to all to the end. So God is judging all of those who have killed and martyred the many things. So let's look a little closer at this. Here we have it. You can see it here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And there's the bowls. And that's how they just poured it out. Seven angels, seven bowls. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? Yes, we're on the same page. We're in Revelation chapter 16. Let's continue. Again, another picture just to get it into our heads. There they are. And we're going to go over them. Again, if you want any of this, please give me your email. I'd be more than happy to give it to you. And here we have one more here of seven. We have the boils. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. The sores, the boils. For all that had 666 on the head. You think people have tattoos today. You should see that everybody who has 666, they'll have a tattoo here. And they have these boils, these sores that are excruciating pain. And then it turns all the oceans into pollution, into blood. And it brings us back to Moses when he was in Egypt. And they had the plagues there. But this is going to be worse. And then we're going to find out they have the rivers of pollution. Not just the ocean, but the rivers. And then we're going to talk about the sun. How it comes down and it scorches the people. Then we're going to talk about the darkness on the beast and his kingdom. Then we're going to talk about the Euphrates rivers and it dries up. And then, of course, the earthquake. So let's get into this and enjoy it together. And I hope that you're blessed by it and that you'll go home and you'll check all this out. I always enjoy when people check out the message. I think that's very, very important. Seven bowls. First bowl. After hearing a loud voice commanding the seven angels to pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath upon the earth, John saw the angels instantly obeying. Look at that, chapter 16 there. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple and saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went out and poured out his bowl on the earth. What can we get from that? What do we can get from Scripture, they say? They were obedient. We have to be obedient to the Word of God. This is God talking to them, telling them to do this, and they did it. There was no ifs, ands about it. The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth. This is an application of this Scripture that we can take to heart. No questions asked. They did what God told them to do. They poured it out. They didn't drip it out. They poured it out. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 2 there. So the first angel did this. And it went on all the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. Many people worship Satan today. In that day, there'll be many, many, many more. So this is the first one. The only people afflicted by the first plague were the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. Clearly, these final bowls of wrath will commence in the last days of the seven-year tribulation. You got the first one. Application, they did what God wanted them to do. We are to do what God wants us to. An application. The second bowl. Let's look at the second bowl. Sea turns into blood. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. Can you imagine what this did at that time? What would have done? All the seas polluted. Can you imagine? Can you imagine commercial entities, commercial businesses all went out of business? Can you imagine all the shell food and all the livings in the sea? How much that's important in our daily walk? No more salmon. No more salmon. No more crab. No more lobster. Who eats lobster? Anyway, are you with me? Can you imagine this? I can't. I try to. Can you imagine the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, all of these oceans that, and can you imagine the stench? Every living thing in the sea died. So can you imagine the people at that time? So what did the people do? Well, first of all, I'm sure they looked elsewhere. They probably thought, well, we'll go to the lakes. We'll go to the rivers. And we can eat the nice fish, the trout, and all the nice fish in the rivers. But that's not possible, because what happens here, verse 4, follow along, verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Wow. That is unreal. So they had no fish, no water, fresh water. We got so much water, it's not funny in a sense, in beautiful British Columbia. I mean, and when we have a drought or something like that, we suffer. But can you imagine no water? No water. God's perfect judgment. The people of God will not be affected by this. Only those that have worshipped the beast. Only those that are children of Satan. Only those who are part of the devil's family. So the people couldn't go to the rivers to get, so they probably were looking to the skies, eh? They're looking for that rain. Nice fresh rain. I'm sure they had all their containers out. All containers. And because when the rain came, they would fill up their containers and they'd have water. Well, that didn't happen either. Because after the third bowl, after all the rivers and the springs, after they got filled, what happened? We find the scorching sun. It says right here, and I heard an angel of the Lord, verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters, and I heard the angel of the waters say, righteousness are yours, who are and who were, O Holy One, because your judgment judge these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. Verse 7, and I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgment. God brings judgment. No water. No sea animals. The scorch. You know, we talk about the catastrophe and even about global warming and all those kind of things to today. But that's nothing compared to what this is going to be. I mean, the disaster that happened because of the rivers, because of the lakes, because of all the sickness, the boil, all the dead animals, all the stench and all that, it changed the atmosphere. And there was no protection from the rays of the sun. There wasn't a drop of rain. And global warming is like picnic compared to what's happening here. They were scorched. I work in 3 months of the year, as some of you know. 3 months of a year, I work in Argentina. And about a month and a half of that, I work in 50-degree weather. And I'm working there with the carretilla and the rastilla and all of these instruments like the wheelbarrow and the rake and all that. And I'm working in 50-degree weather. And I go out at 7 o'clock in the morning because it's fresh. But at 7:30, I'm drenched from perspiration. I think that's hot. That's nothing. Nada. Yeah. That's nothing compared to what's happening here. And this is a judgment of God. And you can tell your friends this. Try to share. They're going to think it's a fairy tale. But read it over and over to them. Give them a New Testament. See, look, would you read the Revelation chapter 16? And let's talk about it over coffee tomorrow at Starbucks. Oh, no, sorry. At Tim Hortons. Why don't you do that? Or photocopy chapter 16 and give them and say, hey, buddy, read this, will you? I want to talk to you about this. This guy on Sunday morning was talking about this, and he was trying to explain it. And what do you think about it? I mean, I don't have all the answers. You won't have all the answers. But it's black on white. Share it with them. Read it over with them in the restaurant. Buy them a coffee. What do you think about this? And you can tell them that you are not going to be in this event because Jesus took your sins away on the cross of Calvary. He died for you. What a way to test them. People enjoy Revelation. Believe it or not, the world enjoys Revelation. They like to read it. They don't understand it. Some of them think it's just a story. But you and I can tell them that's reality. What happened to the fifth one? Well, we find the fifth one is as terrible as the other one. This bowl is the thrones of the beast. Kingdom plunges into darkness. Complete darkness over the world. Can you imagine no lights, no flashlights, nothing? Have you ever walked out? You can't see it here in town because there's so many lights and all that. But you go out, even up at Amble Island. You go out there at night, it's absolutely gorgeous, but it's light out because of all the stars and the moon. It's so bright, it's so beautiful. But can you imagine turn all of those stars off, turn the moon off, turn all of the... You can imagine the confusion. You can imagine the problem that arises from that. Then we have the sixth. The fifth bowl, throne of the beast, plunges into darkness, darkness over the whole earth. The sixth, another terrifying one. We have the demons performing miracles, gathers kings to fight against God. And we have a great battle. And we also have the Euphrates River dries up. Let's read that in the scriptures here. We'll read the fourth. The fourth angel, verse 8, please. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had been powerful, who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. I don't know the word in English, but I know it in Spanish, but I won't say it. But these people were I can't say stupid. That's probably not politically correct. But you know what I'm trying to get at. After all of these plagues, they don't repent. Their hearts are hardened. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the thrones of the beast, and his kingdom became darkness, and they quenched their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So here we have both in verse 9 and verse 10 and 11, there's no repentance. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river of Euphrates, and its waters were dried up so that so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And that's this one over here. Terrible things happen. Terrible, terrible things. And then we have the Battle of Armageddon, which we're not going to get into. We have the battle of, and the final outcome of this battle is not described until chapter 19. So you have to wait till chapter 19 to get that. The great battle of Armageddon. Yes, seven bowls. The seventh bowl. The final judgment. It is done. Notice what it says here in Scripture. It actually says it is done. The sixth bowl. And verse 13. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets, three unclean spirits like frogs. And they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief, because it is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place where, which in Hebrew is Hamagana. I was there. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He was dying on the cross. "It is finished." He wasn't finished. The redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was finished. It was done. And that's why we don't have to go through these terrible, terrible, terrible times. We don't have to go through those times. It's done. It says right there, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there's a great earthquake, such as there has never been seen. Men caught to be under the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great cities were split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And we can see from Scripture there that there was great destruction over the whole earth. They had hailstones of 120 pounds each, pouring down on it. This is the last one right here. Whoop. So this is the last one that we're taking, not the sixth. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck the worst since the people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of the nations fell into heaps of rubble. This is the last plague. But we don't have to worry about it, because after that, we're going to see it is done. Temple in the heaven, great voices before the throne saying, "It is done." It's done. It's over. And we will spend eternity with the Lord. But Revelation 16 reminds us that God's judgment is inescapable. We can play around with sin. We can think we're getting away with it. But judgment will come. The images of Romans 16, Revelation 16, can be distilled into two key truths. First, judgment in the world will all appear distorted. Second, escape the reality of God's judgment is impossible. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we go downstairs, you can talk about this. When you get home, you can think about these things. But if you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you, you can do it. And you don't have to worry about these judgments. You don't have to worry about these problems. You don't have to worry about Revelation chapter 16, because you won't be there. I won't be there. We'll be taken up when Christ comes. I'm sure you've taken that as you've studied the beginning of Romans, of Revelations. These are exciting things, aren't they? I hope I got the point across, and with the charts and with these pictures, I hope you can see the seventh judgment is the final judgment. And then Christ is going to be coming back. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Revelation chapter 15 and 16. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the plagues in the sense that we will not be part of it. We thank you for that, Heavenly Father. But we pray that we might obey you as the angels obeyed you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we might have compassion for those around us, that we will tell them that these judgments are coming. It's going to be terrible, something we can't even imagine. And if we love our friends like we should, love one another is your commandment. Love one another. We pray, Lord, that we will tell them that this judgment is coming, but there's a way out. There's a way that they can escape the judgment of God. And that's by accepting his Son. Father, we thank you that God gave his Son to die on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Help us, guide us, direct us. And as we go downstairs, Heavenly Father, as we enjoy the wonderful fellowship, we think of all those in this neighborhood, in our neighborhoods, wherever we live, that don't have this communion, don't have this joy, don't have this fellowship, don't have this community, don't have the love of one another as we feel and as we sense here at Parkcrest. May we reach out to them, Heavenly Father, and show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to you, Father, but through Jesus. This we ask in his name, giving him thanks. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to stay for lunch. It's free. So if you have any questions, I'd be willing to try to answer them. And don't forget to give me your email if you want me to send you those three charts. And there are some charts printed in the back. Thank you.